Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The makers of Rinso are proud to present The Mayor of the Town, starring Lionel Barrymore. Well, hold on, folks. You're about to hear the newest effort of Harlow Wilcox Shakespeare, poet laureate of the laundry hamper. There was a young housewife named Brown who used to wash clothes with a frown. But she's changed all her ways. Now she smiles on wash days since she first heard the mayor of the town. Well, why shouldn't she smile now that the new anti-sneeze Rinso saves her all the work of scrubbing and boiling clothes? Why, she just lets them soak clean in Rinso's rich suds. Then, with a few quick finger rubs on extra soil places, they're ready to rinse. Try Rinso yourself, won't you? And now to Mr. Barrymore as the mayor of the town.
Mayor, Dr. Case is in the outer office.
Since when does Dr. Case sit in my outer office? Milton, come on in here.
Please, Mayor, they'll hear you all over City Hall.
Come on, Milt!
If you wouldn't keep my friends out there, I wouldn't have to shout. I'm going to do away with that outer office.
Morning, Mayor.
Morning, Milt. Sit down. So this is an unexpected pleasure.
Do you suppose I could take about a few minutes of your time on a private matter?
Oh, of course you can. Minnie, haven't you got something to do?
Excuse me.
You know, Minnie's getting the doggonest habit of not knowing when to leave. What can I do for you, Milt?
You got faith in my judgment, Mayor? If I said a man was a good man, would you trust me to know?
Yes, I would. To the death. Say, you know, you're looking awful tired, Milt. Maybe you're working too hard.
Well, it seems like there's more sick people than ever before, and less to take care of them. Yeah. We're getting mighty short of doctors here in Springdale.
I know. That's a problem that always comes with war.
Things are mighty desperate over at the hospital and all over the city, for that matter. May and I can't begin to handle the cases that are coming in. I need help.
What do you got in mind, Milt?
Well, I'll tell you who I've got in mind. James Elliott.
James Elliott? Oh, I'm afraid that's pretty impossible.
Let me tell you something. James Elliott is not only one of the most brilliant surgeons in the state, he's one of the most brilliant in the whole country.
Well, all I know of James Elliott is that he performed an operation without permission and the patient died. And he left the hospital and stopped practicing. That isn't too good a record.
No, not too good. But what would any surgeon have done in a similar case? What would you yourself have done? Cross boy had been in a bad accident. His parents were inaccessible. There was one chance in a million that an operation might save him. James Elliott took that chance.
And the boy died.
Well, he would have died anyhow. It was Dr. Elliott's misfortune that the press, for lack of better news, picked up the story.
Yeah, I remember. The whole town was all upset about it.
And his practice was ruined. Oh, he was exonerated and all that, but the smell had gotten round. So he went into the laboratory work and let the other go. I've been spending some time with him lately. I tell you, he's taught me a lot.
Yeah? But what do you want me to do about it, Milt?
I want you to persuade him to come back into practice.
Oh, I don't even know the man.
I've tried to talk to him, but he won't listen to me. He might listen to you.
Oh, I don't know, Milt.
We need every man. I wouldn't bother you with this if I knew any way to accomplish it without you. I brought you a copy of the man's case history. Read it over, think about it, and then decide.
All right, Milt. All right, I'll read it over.
Mr. Mayor, come in, sir.
I hope you don't mind my paying a little informal call like this, Dr. Elliott, but I need your help.
Yeah, let me take your coat.
Thank you.
Try that chair by the fire. Cigar?
No, thanks. No, it's a nice fire, though. It's a nippy evening.
Yes, I like a fire on a November evening. It's comforting.
Dr. Elliott, you may not like what I have to say to you. You'll probably tell me I'm a meddling old fool and to mind my own business. But there's something that has to be said, it seems, that I'm the one to say it.
What's on your mind?
We're facing a bad winter, Dr. Elliott. There's a great shortage of medical men. You're a doctor and a surgeon. I want you to take up your practice again.
You're mistaken, Mr. Mayor. I'm neither a doctor nor a surgeon. That's been proven.
Ah, rubbish. I've read your records. I know better.
A man can lose faith in himself, Mr. Mayor.
Well, some men maybe, but not you. You're too wise for that. The best doctor I have ever known says you're one of the greatest surgeons in the country.
You've been talking to Dr. Case, but Dr. Case is prejudiced. He's been listening to my theories. Theories look well on paper, and they sound well, but ask the people of Springdale. They'll tell you I'm not a surgeon.
The people made a mistake.
Perhaps, but they destroyed me when they made it.
No. You destroyed yourself. You read in the papers that it was your fault that a boy died, and instead of fighting it and proving him wrong, you quit. You left the hospital. You closed your bag and left it closed. Why?
Because suddenly it wasn't worth the fight, that was all. I had worked for years, night and day, unceasingly to save life. And I had saved many lives. But all those were forgotten in the hour that I lost one. Why should I drive myself to save the people who would turn on me in an instant?
Well, I don't know why you should, exactly. Except that we all do it. Somehow, to most people, a good doctor is someone set apart. Someone from God with the gift of life in his hand.
Oh, I've thought about it, Mayor. At night, even now, when I can't sleep, I think about it. I live the whole incident over. The call to the hospital, the child near death. The question, shall I operate without the parents' consent and perhaps save the child's life? Or wait for that consent and condemn the child to certain death? The staff surgeons couldn't be reached for a consultation. I had to make the decision and take any consequences. And always I do the same thing, Mayor. I always operate. If the same thing came up again tonight, I would operate. I would take that one chance in a million to save a life, knowing full well that I would be branded an incompetent and a murderer if I failed. I took that chance, Mayor, and I lost. I'm sorry the child died, but I'm not sorry for myself.
Well, now, you should have explained that. You should have fought it out.
I was not asked for an explanation. I was condemned, and I accepted the sentence.
Will you come back?
No.
I see you're an unforgiving man, Dr. Elliott.
Well, put it any way you like.
Well, does your hate then go beyond the city? Did you hate your country, too?
That's a ridiculous question.
I don't see that it is at all. This is no time for feuds or bitterness. This is a time of war. Our sons are fighting on foreign soil. Every doctor here and every doctor with them must do the work of 20. What right have you to sit here beside your fire and refuse to help? What right have you to fan your bitterness as they die?
Now listen to me.
No, you listen to me for a change. It's time you listen to someone. You took an oath to heal and save. Our best physicians and surgeons trained you and helped you and believed in you. What right have you to throw aside the time they spent and call it lost? What right have you to say the people misunderstood me, they jumped to a wrong conclusion and hurt my pride and my ego? So let them die. You've a mighty conceit, Dr. Elliott.
What a way you have of putting your finger on the heart of the matter.
I have no patience with a man who nurses his pride. You've been acting like a sulky child.
Perhaps. But it's only been 2 years. They haven't forgotten, don't you see? They won't want me to take care of them. They have no confidence in me.
I'm not denying it'll be a fight, but it can be won. I have faith in you. Dr. Case has faith in you. And you have plenty in yourself. Now, don't try to tell me for a moment that you haven't. Come on, you get those instruments out and polish them up and hang up your shield and fight. The people will come to you because they need you. May take a little time, but they'll come. Well, what do you say, Dr. Elliott?
Mr. Mayor, you've made me quite ashamed.
Good. Now let's get to work.
Yes?
Can you come over to the hospital immediately, Dr. Elliott? Emergency operation.
I'll be right there. Scalpel. Swab.
Breathing irregular. Pulse weak.
Oxygen. Scalpel.
Pulse slow. Weak.
More oxygen. Swab.
Doctor.
Oxygen. More oxygen.
It's no use, Doctor. The patient is dead.
Morning's paper. It was a case similar to the Cross case. They let the doctor operate again, and the boy died.
It's the most disgraceful thing I've ever heard of. That man's a horse doctor.
Well, I'm certainly never going to let that doctor get near our house. I don't know what they're thinking about letting him practice.
I'm going to complain to the medical association. Something ought to be done about that man.
I've been reading your paper and listening to what people are having to say about Dr. Elliott.
A man ought to be ridden out of town on a ring.
Tom, at this moment, I'd like to ride you out. Now, I'm going to make a statement, and you're going to print it. Put that girl of yours on the other phone and have her take this down just as I say it. And see that it's run on the front page in a box. Huh? Hello. Are you ready?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. To the people of Springdale. You have seen fit to call a doctor of this town unfit to practice. You have seen fit to brand him. In so doing, you've lost sight of these facts. A doctor is not and does not pretend to be God. He's a man of science. Have you got that?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Yeah.
If a bone is broken, he mends it. If a cord is severed, he ties it. The body's wasted with disease, he fights that disease. But the bone that's too shattered can't be mended. The cord that's completely severed, sometimes it's impossible to put it together. The body too far wasted doesn't respond to treatment. As brilliant and competent as the doctor is, he can't always win in his continual fight against death. Remember this, my friends. A miracle comes only from the hand of God. And is bestowed rarely. Now ask your doctor for competence and honesty. And ask your minister for the miracle.
This is a beautiful speech you have here in the paper, Father.
Yeah, Margaret. It was given in righteous anger.
I hope it does some good.
It's a tough break.
Yeah.
You had such a job persuading him to practice again.
Yeah, it wasn't easy. He was very bitter.
Have you seen him since this happened?
No. I thought it was better that he fight it out alone.
Suppose he decides to quit?
I don't think he will, somehow. I hope he won't, anyway. If there's such a thing as an evil fate or a jinx, he's certainly suffered from one. Well, Margaret, it's good to have you and Holly here. I'll be glad when you marry John and come to live in Springdale for good.
Hello, Grandfather.
Hello.
Hello, Holly. How are you, Ronnie?
Holly Ann, your face is a sight. Where have you been?
Yeah, where'd you get that black eye, Ronnie?
Well, Ronnie and I were in sort of a fight.
At your age?
What was the matter?
Some of the kids were saying that Dr. Elliott is a quack, and you were one, too.
Oh, so the black eye is in my honor.
You might say so, sir.
Well, I thank you for your gallantry on my behalf. You better see if Marilla can spare a piece of beefsteak.
Yes, sir. Hmm.
I brought you a copy of the Globe. They're answering your statement in the Clarion.
Oh, let me see it. There. It's an easy matter for the mayor of the town to say the people of Springdale should put their lives in the hands of an incompetent, dangerous doctor like James Elliott. But the statements of Mrs. John Cross and Mrs. Robert Weatherly, whose sons are dead, show a vastly different attitude. Oh, my. I don't think I want to read any more of that.
Holly, go wash your face and hands for dinner. And never mind being so thoughtful about bringing papers home in the future.
Yes, Mother.
Hey, yeah, I think I'll go out and tend to my rose bushes.
Oh, Father, dinner's almost ready.
Oh, I got to get a little thinking in before dinner. it, Margaret.
It's Holly Ann. Holly Ann, don't you hear me? She went to the store for Mother. Oh, Mother, don't stand there. Do something.
Well, where is she? Well, how do you know?
She went to the store for Mother. And I don't know.
Margaret! Now tell me quietly, where is Holly Ann? What's happened?
They phoned the police. There was an accident. A truck ran over a girl. They say it's Holly Ann.
I suppose Springdale's men folks pick up the Springdale Courier and start reading it right on the first page. But a great many of the women folks turn right to the women's page. Mrs. Dorothy Rogers, who edits it, is certainly an expert on how to make a household tick along smoothly. Now, don't blush, Dottie. You know it's true.
Well, I just hate the word expert, Harlow. Makes me sound so stuffy.
Well, you are an expert, and I asked you here so you could give the ladies some wash day hints.
Oh, glad to, Harlow. Let's see now. Oh, yes. One thing to bear in mind these days is to take the best possible care of your washer. For instance, don't overload it.
Incidentally, Dottie, you do know that Rinso is the only soap recommended by the makers of 33 leading washers, don't you?
Uh-huh, yes. I know that. To get back, don't run your washer on and on either.
Well, it only takes as little as a 5-minute run with Rinso to get clothes sparkling.
Yes, Harlow, I know. Anyway, as I was saying, they're not making washers till the war's over, you know. So it's wise to have your washer checked.
Oh, yes. By the way, did you know that the Norge makers are among those who recommend Rinso?
Of course I know that, Harlow.
Now, Dorothy, do you or do you not agree with all experts that Rinso is top?
Well, of course I do, Harlow. Why, I've recommended Rinso 1,000 times, if I have once, for a really white wash.
Well, it's about time. And say, don't forget what our educated Bob White says.
Rinso White, Rinso White, happy little wash day song.
Do try Rinso, folks, won't you? And now back to our story and the mayor of the town.
We'll have to operate, Mayor. It's a spinal injury. She should be operated on as soon as possible.
Well, let's get on with it, Milton. I'll tell Margaret.
Better ask Margaret to let Dr. Elliot operate.
Dr. Elliot?
He specializes in these cases. If anyone in the world can save her, he can.
It's that serious.
It's that serious.
Well, let's tell Margaret.
Father, tell me, what did Dr. Case say?
Well, I have to operate.
She won't die, will she, Father? She won't die.
Margaret, it's a very serious operation. Milt wants to call in Dr. Elliot. It's a spinal injury. He specializes in those.
Call in Dr. Elliot?
He's the best in the country, Margaret.
Father.
We won't do it unless you say so, Margaret. It's up to you.
Do you want him to operate on Holly Ann, Father?
Yes, Margaret, I do.
Then call him, of course, as soon as possible. Only, Father.
Yes, Margaret?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Dr. Elliot, you must come with me to the hospital at once.
I told the hospital on the phone that I would not take the operation there. Dr. Case can handle it.
Did they tell you who the patient was?
No, they just said it was an emergency.
It's my granddaughter.
Your granddaughter?
Yes.
Not Holly Ann?
Yes.
You'd trust her to my hands?
Your hands and no others. She was hit by a car. It was a spinal injury. You won't refuse me. You can't refuse me.
Aren't you afraid I'll kill her as I've killed the others?
Yes.
You've been reading the papers, haven't you? You've been listening to what people are saying about me? Let Dr. Case operate.
No, I want you. This is the life I love, and it's in your hands. Give it back to me if you can. That's all I ask of you. Give it back to me.
And if I should fail? If she should die?
Well, then there's a power beyond us both that says it must be. But if medical skill can save her, you can. Will you come?
How long since the accident?
About an hour.
I'll get my bag. Phone the hospital. Say I'm on my way. Yes. Have Dr. Case prepare her for surgery. I'll hurry. We haven't a moment to lose. Scalpel. Swab.
Breathing irregular. Pulse weak.
Oxygen. Scalpel.
Pulse slower. Weaker.
More oxygen. Quickly. Swab.
Doctor.
Oxygen.
Pulse is gone, Doctor.
This patient can't die. Do as I tell you.
Pulse. Pulse very weak. Very irregular.
Swab. Scalpel. Clamp. Gauze. Swab.
Pulse strong.
Now, Margaret, if you're going to go to pieces, I'm going to send you home.
But that's my daughter in there. And she has no consciousness of you or me or any of the world she's loved. That's my daughter.
And she's in the hands of one of the greatest surgeons in this part of the country.
She may die. She may die, Father.
Yes, Margaret.
And if she does, I've lost 15 years of my life. If she does, I think I want to die, too.
Oh, Margaret, don't talk like that.
She wanted to go to the movies last night. I wish I'd let her go. And this morning I scolded her because her room was so messy. Isn't it funny? I thought it was important that her room was messy.
Oh, I can't abide a woman who doesn't keep her room neat.
If we'd stayed in Philadelphia, this wouldn't have happened. If we waited until next week to come to visit, this wouldn't have happened. If we hadn't sent her for the butter... There was almost enough butter anyhow, Father.
Margaret, stop tormenting yourself. The world is built on ifs. You can always look back and say, if only I hadn't done that, or if only I'd done something else. It's a bad word. I'd like to have it eliminated from the language.
Look, the door, Father. They're coming out. Father!
She's going to be all right. She's going to be all right.
Thank God.
Good morning, Mayor's office. No, I can't give you any information on marriage laws. You'll have to call the Marriage Bureau. Oh, Dr. Elliot. How are you this morning, Doctor?
Couldn't be better, Minnie. How are you?
Well, Doctor, I've been meaning to ask you. I've had a pain in my arm the last couple of days.
Well, now you come around to my office when you get through work and I'll have a look,
Right.
Now, do you think I could see His Honor, Minnie?
I'll buzz him.
What is it, Minnie?
It's Dr. Oh, that man, he won't pick up his phone.
What are you buzzing that confounded thing for, Minnie?
Dr. Elliot wants to see you, Mayor.
Oh, Jim, come on in. Don't pay any attention to that buzzing nonsense. Sit down.
I just wanted to stop by and thank you, Mayor.
How are you doing now? Keeping busy?
I have more patients than I can handle. And that's why I wanted
Good. Holly Ann's quite chipper this morning. By the way, from all I can read in the papers, that operation of yours caused quite a little furor.
I have a letter here I brought along to show you.
Huh? Oh, wait till I get my specs on. Let's see now. Dear Dr. Elliot, in the opinion of this hospital, your brilliant performance in the recent spinal operation. I'd like you to consider... Why, this is an invitation to join the staff of one of the biggest hospitals in the country.
That's right.
Hey, that's a great opportunity, isn't it?
It's the kind that every doctor dreams about. That hospital is known throughout the profession for its great work in advancing medicine.
Ah, it's wonderful. Well, we'll miss you. Of course, we couldn't hope to compete with an offer like that. Well, when do you plan to leave?
Leave? Who's leaving? I sent them a letter this morning, Mayor. Thank you, gentlemen, for a great honor. But I have a previous commitment to the mayor of Springdale. You see, one day the mayor came to me and he said, our sons are fighting on foreign soil. One doctor must do the work of 20. So right now, gentlemen, I'm a little busy.
Jim, I thank you. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you. I don't need to tell you again how much we really do need you.
A few days ago, I had great need of you, and I can't put it into words.
Oh, sir, I have a meeting as school trustees, you know. I'll have to see you later, Jim.
Oh, no, you don't. I came over here to thank you, and you're going to sit right there while I do.
I'm sorry, but it'll have to wait. Minnie, I've got to get to that trustee meeting. See you later, Jim.
What trustee meeting?
Ah, you know. That confounded thing you've been talking about for the last 10 years.
It's the Red Cross this morning.
Can anyone ever make a speech but you?
Not if I can stop them, Jim. Not if I can stop them. I can't sit still through speeches. They make me uncomfortable, nervous. Well, I'll see you later, Jim. Well, what are you sitting there for?
Huh?
Didn't you hear me say one doctor has to do the work of 20? Well, get out there and start peddling your pills.
That's a fine, dignified name for my profession. Pill peddler.
I never knew a doctor in my life who didn't have pills somewhere on him. I wouldn't give a cent for one that didn't. Go on, Scott. You get out and start peddling your pills for the good of humanity. I'll go out and peddle a speech to the Red Cross for the same cause.
Folks, I hate to boast, but when it comes to dishwashing, I'm not so bad. With the aid of my trusty Rinso, I'll bet on myself to win any dishwashing race. Yes, sir, Rinso suds up quicker than you can say, get the giant size for thrift. And those suds really do a job on the greasiest pots and pans in the house, without sending you into pesky sneezing spells either. And without putting a crimp in your budget, for it costs less than a cent a day to wash dishes with Rinso. And you ladies will be glad to know that Rinso doesn't leave your hands rough and red. So, as I said, get a giant size package of Rinso tomorrow. It holds over 4 pounds, enough to keep you smiling at the dishes and clothes for weeks. Be sure to be with us again next week at this same time when the makers of Rinso again bring you the mayor of the town. And remember that Bob Burns, the Arkansas Traveler, is just ahead of us over these same stations. So we hope you'll all hear this full hour of fine entertainment, the Arkansas Traveler and the mayor of the town. Mr. Barrymore appears through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. The part of Dr. Elliot was played by Sidney Blackmer, and our script was written by Miss Jean Holloway. This is Harlow Wilcox wishing you all a very pleasant good night.
Hey, diddle-diddle, it breaks in the middle. It's a Suds and Quiz, and its name is Swan. Try Swan to wash your dishes tonight. It helps your hands stay soft and white. Hey, diddle-diddle, it breaks in the middle. The new white floating soap called Swan.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.